The problem is Russia, an enormous country with more military hardware than it needs, quite willing to invade its neighbors or just plain take them over. And there in the Kremlin, they've got a leader we can't read. He's young, comparatively. He's not dead or dying, or drunk. But is he running the place, or is it the people around him? Is he changing things, or is he a new Stalin? And sometimes, you know, you think maybe they don't mind the isolation. They don't mind the world against them. Maybe they actually prefer it. Then there are the more recent tensions, treaty violations, tit-for-tat sanctions, weapons channeled to insurgents, a passenger aircraft gets shot down. It's October, 1986.
From now until midnight, it's all in fantastic stereo, beginning with this.
Yeah! And Soviet Russia has enough missiles to destroy every European city 100 times over. So we try dialogue. We pencil summits in Washington and Moscow. But first, a meeting to decide what's going to be decided. The two leaders in a quick grip and grin for world consumption. Somewhere neutral. Somewhere halfway between us. Turns out that's Reykjavik.
Reykjavik, American Embassy, Friday, 12:30 p.m.
Let me make this clear. I'm demanding a total press blackout. Breach that. Expect to get sent home. Anyone. CIA, Defense, State.
George Shultz, U.S. Secretary of State since 1982.
No more leaks.
Do we get to send Gorby home if he suddenly speaks?
He won't.
We got the breakdown on their delegation.
Mostly KGB, right?
Well, that's the thing. Barely any. They're all media guys. Some of these names we've never logged before.
But they're KGB media guys.
General Edward Rowney. West Point, Italy, Korea, Vietnam, and now the president's special advisor on arms control.
Straight up foreign ministry, no spies.
Quick photo op at the front door and that's it. They shout questions, I've asked the president not to reply.
Oh yeah?
We have to lowball the expectations.
They won't stop the press wanting results.
Well, they've already got their joke. Here, they presented me.
What's that, a can of fish?
It says, ingredients, the substance of the Reagan-Gorbachev talks.
Roz Ridgway, Special Assistant for Negotiations, former U.S. Ambassador to East Germany.
Here it says, instructions, in the event of a total news blackout, open can.
It's empty, right?
They're the press car, not the Marx Brothers.
You sure?
We're here to discuss what the Russians are going to do. The press corps can stick their... Mr. President.
President! Sit down, please. Everyone, please. Carry on.
Sir, we're just moving on to our predictions of the Russian proposals.
Please carry on.
Ronald Reagan, first elected president of the United States in 1980.
We expect Gorbachev to use this to protect himself politically, to take personal credit for...
It's cold, isn't it? This is not a warm country.
Indeed, sir.
And dark. Did you see what time the sun went down yesterday? Practically before it had got up.
It's a formative part of the national character.
Do we get to meet any of them?
You have President Finn Bogodot here this evening, sir, 7 o'clock.
Oh, tell me about him.
A sheep was first elected in 1980 and inspired...
We've done your cue card, sir. Alan?
Oh, sorry, George. Please continue.
Right, yeah. What we're not expecting. We can't see him making any concessions on the intercontinental ballistic...
Oh, you get quite a view up here. Is that them out there? They really did come by boat.
I think they flew in, sir, and then transferred.
I can never sleep on boats. It's the noise. It never stops.
Hmm. It's a cruise liner, sir. It'll be well padded. The Georg Otz.
Comrade Otz built labor camps or something.
Oh, he's a singer, Ed. He's the Soviet Sinatra.
That's very good, sir. Really?
Yeah, sold lots of records. Big in Estonia.
Okay, everyone. Let's look at the signals we've been picking up. Now, there are signs that Gorbachev's wavering on the issue
of... He is weak. That's why.
Sir?
Since Chernobyl. Chernobyl shot him right through the foot.
It's got everyone spooked.
Chernobyl, Ed. It's no joke. You know what that means in Russian?
Sir?
Now, there's this article in Reader's Digest. Memorized it. The third angel sounded. and a great star fell from heaven on the rivers and on the springs of waters. The name of the star is called Wedgwood. And the waters became Wedgwood, and many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. Revelations chapter 8. This is about the end of the world, Ed.
I recall.
And Chernobyl, everyone, listen up. This is the kicker. Chernobyl is the Russian for Wedgwood.
Like the British
China. Yeah, that's a sign, you see? Apocalypse is coming, and it's our job to see it off at the pass. It is foretold in the Holy Book. Now, normally I wouldn't think, but this is quite a coincidence. And you got to sit up when you hear something like that.
Wormwood, sir.
Paul?
In Revelations, the star is called Wormwood.
That's right, Wormwood. The star, the third trumpet. Sorry, George, I interrupted.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. In fact, that is a very apposite reminder. We intend to press them hard on...
Some people said we were planning to blow up the world. Some said we were keeping the peace. Some days I didn't know myself. I'd only been there a year. We were still squeezing Gromyko's guys out of the building, and they didn't want me there. I'd never worked with diplomats. Had barely ever left the Soviet Union. All right, I was sure of this. Russia had become a third-rate country, all so we could have more missiles on the other side.
Reykjavik Harbour, Friday, 3 p.m.
But are we planning to go to war? The Soviet Union isn't planning to go to war, is it? Is this all planned? And no one's told the General Secretary?
Mikhail Sergeyevich Gorbachev, elected General Secretary of the Communist Party of the USSR 18 months ago.
God, I hate this boat.
It was your idea.
KGB gave me no choice, so they couldn't guarantee to sweep an entire hotel in the time available.
Edward Shevardnadze, appointed Soviet foreign minister just 4 months later.
This is the man who said, "My fellow Americans, today I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We start bombing in 5 minutes.
Georgi, do you know what a joke is?
Oh, you were laughing?
Deploying the SS-20 was our biggest mistake. We forced them to fill Europe with missiles.
Bigger than invading Afghanistan?
I do have to get them arranged in order.
Marshal, what do the General Staff want us to do?
We have numerical superiority in Europe. We must maintain that if we wish to protect the Union.
The pressure on our economy will be inconceivable.
If America can afford it, then we
They're spending about 7%, we think, of their GDP on the military. And struggling.
Good.
We are running nearer 20%.
The Russian people will pull together. We've done it many times.
But we will panic. We'll be sitting there in the Kremlin telling ourselves we must win this race. And we just won't know how.
So I've given a lot of thought to this proposal drafted by the Ministry. And this is what I think. It's bullshit. It's crap. I intend to propose the liquidation of all nuclear weapons in Europe.
All?
We circled round this idea at Geneva. Now is the time.
In stages, yes? We reduce the forces in agreed stages.
Like the Vienna negotiations. 14 years they talked. They achieved a 1% reduction in strategic arms.
Well, what if they have no desire to slow down? Reagan is under colossal pressure from his right.
In Geneva we talked, just the two of us. He is not a man for detail. Not at all.
And if Reagan refuses, we still win. Sunday afternoon, you march into that final press conference, Mikhail Sergeyevich, and tell the world we offered peace and the Americans wouldn't even meet us halfway.
We publish our offer in full. Everyone will see.
Good, yes. But he must also know we mean it.
We made concessions because it was time. They were not made out of weakness, but out of strength and humanity. The rush to destruction must end, and we have offered the Americans a way out. We are so sad that they...
Yes, all right, yes.
Mm-hmm. Write it up. You'll need it.
Presidential motorcade, Saturday, 10:15 a.m.
Is that it? It looks kind of cozy.
They'd chosen this place called the Hufthi House. It belonged to the British ambassador. until he said it was haunted.
Well, you could see a house like that on the prairies. Clapboard.
He said the pictures kept falling off the walls.
That's not so surprising in this wind.
If I might press on, sir, the CIA briefing.
Yeah, sure, John. Sure.
Langley's getting hung up on the Soviet military.
Admiral John Poindexter, appointed the president's national security advisor 10 months ago.
Uh-huh. CIA reckon the military top guys are totally opposed to Gorbachev.
Now, why have they got it in for Mikhail?
Well, they think he's too ready to make agreements with you.
Not so different from my blowhards.
The CIA reckon, and I'm just the messenger here, sir, that they've been thinking about assassinating Gorbachev.
Oh, that'd be too much. That's plain wrong.
Sir.
Anything more from those folks in the Middle East?
Well, that wouldn't be part of the CIA remit, sir. It's an NSA operation.
Yes, I realize that, John. I'm asking you. You're my point man here.
Do you have to do this here? You know how I feel about this.
All right, George. All right.
This way, sir.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm much the wiser. This CIA briefing.
Well, that's why we have the CIA, sir, to keep us all guessing.
Under here, sir.
Whoa! Can you hold that umbrella still?
The Hovey House, Saturday, 10:30 a.m.
Ah, Mikhail Sergeyevich.
Good to see you.
Welcome.
Again, Mr. President.
Let's give them their photos, shall we?
Of course.
Thank you. Thank you.
What's your first priority, sir?
Oh, peace.
Mr. President.
Are you going to give away the store, Mr. President?
Oh, now I don't own the store.
I think we can probably go in now.
Okay.
Your meeting through there, Mr. General Secretary. The staffs have rooms upstairs.
Thank you.
How is Reis Maximo?
Doing a full tour. You should see the outfits she brought. At least five changes a day.
Wait, she's here?
We squeezed her on the back of the plane.
Oh, I didn't think Nancy should cut. She's not here. Well, that's a damn shame.
She loves the boot. She says it's romantic.
Yeah.
Right. It's started.
It has.
Upstairs, each delegation had two small rooms and a bathroom, and a large common room in between, where they put the coffee and the rolls, and the fish.
Our room's on the right as you went up, Americans on the left. Did that mean anything?
They were scheduled for a brief one-on-one, and then we joined them.
Just the two interpreters and two note-takers. It was only a small room off the hall, brown walls, and a good view of the grey.
Hovey House, Saturday, 10:45 a.m.
The Soviet Union is committed to effective and reliable control, including on-site inspections.
Dovryai, no Provryai.
I'm sorry?
Let me try it again. Dovryai, no Provryai.
Trust, but verify.
I see. Yes, I remember from Geneva.
Effective verification is essential. It's one of your proverbs.
What we have outlined here, these are very serious proposals, and in case of any misunderstanding, we would now like to present you with an English translation. Do you have it, Edvard?
Yes. We wouldn't want there to be any ambiguity.
We are proposing the complete elimination of all missiles in Europe. And now we invite you to respond.
This is very encouraging.
Yes, we would, of course, be delighted to see a non-nuclear Europe, but this is impossible without a parallel reduction of missiles in Asia.
But the zero option for intermediate forces in Europe, it was your proposal.
Well, how many times did your people walk out of negotiations refusing to consider it? 1981, 1982?
It's true. There have been some hiccups since we last met. Even a black eye or two.
Yes, who'd have thought there were so many spies?
But, Mr. President, you and I cannot allow this meeting to fail. It would be a crushing blow, a scandal. People would ask, what kind of politicians are they? They meet for hours, all those words, meetings, and they still cannot agree on anything.
We must also touch on the issue of human rights.
In Geneva, we agreed to postpone...
No, we have no desire to intervene in your domestic affairs, but you have to understand the pressure I am under from public opinion in the U.S. We're a nation of immigrants. Well, just yesterday, I received this letter from a senator. His mother is Russian. And he's worried sick, and I understand the force of a national tie. I'm an Irishman, and I feel the same about Ireland.
But this is all secondary to the nuclear question, yes?
Well, yes, that may well... you know, here we are. were sitting together in a room, nothing but wind and rain out there, and we can settle whether there's going to be peace or war in this world. Now that is quite something, isn't it?
We need a new impetus. The zero option is your child. Why abandon it?
We would have to consult London and Paris.
Please, please, examine our proposals fully, carefully. We are no longer asking you to include the British and French missiles.
They're totally out of the equation.
We aren't going to stick on this anymore. They can do what they want.
That's,
Yes, interesting.
You will examine our proposals in full.
Maybe we need to consider this. Break for lunch?
Soviet motorcade, Saturday, 12:40 p.m.
Nothing. They come here with bugger all.
They want to pick the fruit from our basket.
Did they suggest nothing?
We presented them with 3 pages of proposals in English. They gave us...
Even what they had offered in 83, now it's not good enough.
Yeah, they will claim we've misled them.
They clearly didn't expect me to be there.
Is there no one from their military, from the general staff?
No one. All politicals.
We've caught them with their pants down. They believe their own propaganda, and they think you will come to the Washington summit at any price.
I will not. What would they do if we didn't buy their grain, their soybeans?
Mikhail Sergeyevich, you told us you could do business with Reagan.
I can. I believe I can.
Any film stories?
Not yet.
American Embassy, Saturday, 12:45 p.m.
They are laying gifts at our feet. These are huge concessions. They're reading from our script almost entirely.
These are the best Soviet proposals I have seen in 25 years. And you all know I've been in this game long enough to say that.
Oh, I started to understand the Soviets and their cruise liner. We drove back to the embassy where our people had rigged up what they called a security bubble. A small... too small. It was like a cage. A vault. They'd mounted it on blocks between the floor and ceiling.
Let's settle down, everyone.
Walls of clear plastic sheeting. If there was a bug, you'd see it.
Get some water in here. We could keep goldfish.
And there weren't enough seats for everyone. People were sitting on the floor. It was ridiculous. But everyone wanted to be there. We all knew something was shifting. Faster than any of us had predicted.
The British and French missiles, we've been stuck on that for almost a decade. Mm. They've just walked away from it.
Yeah, but they can simply shift those missiles to Kazakhstan, Baluchistan, or who gives a damnistan, and then wheel them back to Prague as the fancy takes them.
Well, then we need to shut down the Asia option as well.
But they're not offering that, so you've got to ask yourself why.
Now, why did Gorbachev have more papers than I did?
We were... basically, Mr. President, we were working to the assumption that this was purely a preparatory meeting for Washington. This morning, General Secretary Gorbachev turned this into a summit.
But there's no agenda for it.
It's our agenda. All ours.
There's gonna be blowback, some unpayable price.
I am just not seeing...
We need to use the rest of the time till 3 working up your next talking point, sir. Your responses for this afternoon.
That's good, yeah.
So, Paul, Jack, Ross, stay here. No point in coming back to the Hoofthee. Start preparing for this evening's breakout meeting.
Of course, if we were goldfish, someone would come along and feed us, huh?
Right, let's get you over to the residence for lunch, sir.
Yeah.
Had a very hard morning.
Mr. President. Mr. President.
That was something. John, any news? The other thing, the Iran thing.
Colonel North is fully monitoring the situation, sir, and as soon
as... Well, how close are they? Are these people going to publish it?
It's the two from Ashura we're worried about.
That's one of those terrorist gangs.
It's a magazine, sir, in Lebanon. Yeah. We reckon their reporters have tracked the routes of some of the payments.
Well, we never... ever passed money to the hostage takers.
That's wholly clear,
sir. You have to pay the middleman. That's how the business works over there.
I think the nation will understand that, sir. The arms sales, the anti-tank missiles, anti-aircraft stuff supplied to Tehran. That may be harder.
Well, now, do they know it was going through Israel?
I don't know.
Because that'll help. All those editors on the East Coast, as soon as they know their people were involved, that'll...
That may be part of it. Yes, sir.
Well, we'll just... have to wait and see. Mm. Now, do you reckon...
Sir?
You think it'll be cod again?
People got Reagan wrong. All that warmonger stuff. This was a president who cared about people. He drove us crazy. He had to spend an hour or so every afternoon personally answering letters from American citizens. Sometimes he sent them checks, his own personal check, $20, $50. He was the real deal. He wasn't someone who wanted to start wars. He wanted to protect people. That's why he got so fizzed by the Strategic Defense Initiative.
Everyone knew it was never going to work. A bullet to shoot down a bullet. So this had to be their way of building up new arsenals.
The Soviets always had to call it Star Wars, like we wanted to put space troopers up there shooting killer rays at each other. The president had announced it in 1983, and it was still all just prototypes, but that didn't matter one bit. We knew it had them spooked.
We'd all signed a treaty. Neither side could ramp up a whole new slew of missiles just by pretending they're only there to bring down the other guy's missiles, pretending they're defensive. The ABM Treaty.
Hervey House, Saturday, 3:45 p.m.
It's the ABM Treaty that creates the conditions for stability. It is fundamental, and you now reject it. We simply do not understand this.
Well, there's a liberal interpretation of the words in the treaty, and there's a tight one.
This is a legitimate difference of opinion.
We want to stay with the anti-ballistic missile treaty, but we propose a new agreement to allow wider development of defensive weapons. Now, this may require measures currently outside the ABM treaty.
So you do want to break the treaty?
This is your price, yes, for the zero option?
We're going to invite you to observe everything. All tests would be conducted in the presence of the other party.
Star Wars.
SDI, Strategic Defense Initiative.
These space weapons are a transfer of the arms race to a whole new environment. It will destabilize the international strategic balance.
But we need a defensive shield. You do. Everyone does.
How can we agree to reduce weapons while you're building more?
Gas masks.
I'm sorry?
No, think about it. When chemical weapons were outlawed after the First War, did everyone get rid of their gas masks too? Of course not. They were a guarantee against a weapon if a madman came along. Some new maniac, like Hitler. Now, we need to keep our gas masks here.
The side which has effective defense can launch a first strike without fear of retaliation. Your missile shield collapses mutual deterrence.
And the whole basis of mutually assured destruction is undermined. We have no more strategic stability.
Oh, mutually assured Look, too many people are learning to love these bombs. They're an abomination. They're wrong. We may well be the generation that sees Armageddon. Now, the portents are there. Israel rebuilds the temple, and the strange weather we've been seeing, the takeover in Libya.
I would rather remain focused on what you propose, not God's plans, that you are weaponizing space.
Look, imagine if... I want you to imagine something with me here. Imagine if we were invaded by aliens, if they wanted to invade the planet. Well, we'd all come together then, wouldn't we?
Please, last time, Geneva, we did the little green men.
And perhaps this isn't the best way.
There must be security for all, or no one will be secure. It doesn't matter. It's from a movie. It's still true.
Forgive me, the Communist Party has no position in the event of an interplanetary invasion. Did Lenin write anything on this?
Maybe Trotsky.
No, look, there is life on other planets. And one day, they're coming here.
You think?
And if they came to attack us, we, you and me, we would fight side by side. And that is why my offer to you is genuine. It is all SDI developments will be shared.
I am sorry to speak bluntly, but I cannot take this seriously.
Now, wait a minute.
Well, this would be a second American revolution. You won't share oil drilling equipment, digital machine tools,
milking equipment.
How can we believe you will share space weapons with us?
Oh, why can't we trust each other? Why can't our two great nations learn to believe each other?
We previously made a proposal to cut long-range ballistic missiles by 50%. We would like to hear. Are you interested?
Well, naturally, but we need to consider all the issues. Throw
weight. We need to consider how to calculate bombers with gravity fall bombs. Mm-hmm. Do they rate as one warhead, or they... Mm-hmm.
Everything. We just cut each type by 50% across the board. Strategic bombers, sea-launched, land-launched, everything.
But if we cut each and every level by 50%, you will still have more than us.
Here's the figures. Here is a schedule of everything we have and everything we know you have.
This is...
Can I see that?
This is every...
This is the only way out of the forest. We go down this list, we cut each in half. Our people could talk forever about whether one sub-launched missile with three warheads equals... Forget all that. This is a simple, proportionate solution. A 50% cut is a 50% cut. Nothing left to debate.
Can we keep this document?
It's for you.
You have all our secrets now. We know how to share.
Mr. President, let's not slurp at the same cold soup our negotiators have been cooking for all these years. If the United States doesn't want to remove its missiles from Europe, say so. Say now. Please stop wasting everyone's time.
The zero option was our proposal.
Yeah, but that leaves you with missiles based all over Asia.
You have weapons in South Korea.
No ocean-based, nothing ballistic.
We have to stop counting, Mr. President. Arithmetic is not enough. If we can find a solution to the missiles in Asia, will you, on behalf of the United States, agree to a zero option in Europe?
Yes.
Thank you. And that's why you must agree to non-withdrawal from the ABM Treaty for at least 10 years. This is the only way to create the...
I would never have become National Security Advisor if Bud McFarlane hadn't got in so deep with the whole Middle East hostage thing. Then again, maybe he wasn't so stupid after all. He knew it was going to blow open any time. And here I was, stuck on a volcanic rock in the North Atlantic. But when I ring Bud from the embassy and tell him about the Soviet zero proposal, I can hear him smiling for the first time in weeks. Round the office, he always called SDI his sting. He knew it never had a cat's chance of working. The idea was to con the Soviets into talking. And here they were, spilling it all.
This ABM treaty was bedrock. You have to understand that. Both sides had agreed. No new developments, no new weapons, no new nothing. It didn't matter if you said it was defensive. It wasn't allowed.
And the SDI sting, it worked. Here it was, leveraging the Russians. We only made one mistake. We never told the president that that was the point of it all.
No, maybe 78. No, 79. I was the candidate. I went to visit our defense command. I gotta tell you, the most shocking day of my life. I said to our general there, you probably know his name. You probably know the name of his dog. He took me through all the radars and warning systems. And so I said, right, so show me what you do if you see a Russian missile coming. Oh, he said, we can't do anything. We can send a warning, maybe 15 minutes, but we can't stop it. And that's when I decided. We have to move from mutually assured destruction to mutually assured survival. So this safety mechanism, a roof a man might build on his house, SDI.
That may be a little less philosophical. We're talking realities here, practicalities. Our military is not worried about your Star Wars. We aren't afraid of it. Spend your money on it if you want. Our response to this will not be symmetrical. It will be asymmetrical. We will develop a huge first-strike capability that will overwhelm and obliterate any system which you can deploy in space.
I think it's time to set the experts to work. There's a whole lot to talk about.
I've got a long night ahead. Mm-hmm.
American Ambassador's Residence, Bedroom, Saturday, 8:30 p.m.
Some kind of fish. White. And it... And that pickled cabbage. Everything here comes with pickled cabbage. Well, now, he said it was just a meeting, not a summit. He said it would look wrong if you... I know. I'm missing you too, Mommy. Oh, it's sitting right here. You know I can't get off without it. Now, I don't lose any sleep over that. No, I can explain to anyone who asks that Ronald Reagan would never leave any American in... But aren't the planets always in the same place? Okay, no, sure. Okay, you get her to recalculate. Well, let them impeach me if they want. Let them go right ahead. I'll stand before the American people, and I don't care that it's Iranians. They just happen to be the guys who could get our people out. Do you think our citizens should be left to suffer while the president could do something about it? You should see George's face whenever it gets mentioned in front of him. He's like a toad that swallowed a dog. Oh, I fully intend to be home for dinner. Anything but cabbage.
Holt Hotel, Bedroom, Sunday, 2:20 a.m.
Yeah, loud.
Yeah. Sorry, George. Sorry. Sorry, okay, George.
So, is it all of you?
Principals.
Okay, well, let me get a sweater.
Get in. Get in.
Oh, God.
Did you turn the heating off overnight?
Yeah, I don't like things to get stuffy.
You work in the State Department?
You didn't quite allow for the Icelandic chill.
Oh, you're telling me.
Okay. All right, tell me what you came to say.
We are truly going somewhere, George.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
But we need to take this slower. There are two sides to
this.
And
I'm coming to it, Ed. We've got to show some flexibility.
I do think this is genuine.
We finally got a bomber counting rule. Do you realize what that means?
As though a bomber even begins to compare to a single missile-fired warhead. If we simply have the whole shebang, their numerical superiority increases every time. Do the math, for Christ's sake.
The president needs a deal.
Why? We've got the Washington summit all but inked in.
Midterms. We need a congressional majority if any deal's getting rough.
Damn it. Look, I'm still cold. Hang on.
What about the European deal?
Akhramyev. He's something, isn't he?
Best he's a good guy in a shit system.
You're warming to him.
We have to show flexibility. They're going out on a limb here.
Yeah.
They clearly want to reach an agreement.
Okay. Stand for equal outcomes. Force them. Don't forget their hardliners. Tomorrow it's just our two guys in that room doing what they want. The president can swing it.
A deal is what we need. Really need. Right now.
Where's the fire, John? We never intended to finalize anything here.
Yeah, just take it from me.
But get SDI worked into the equation so that these reductions are a clear result of the ongoing SDI. Huh? All right, off you go.
Paul?
Paul.
Yeah.
This isn't a consensus meeting. You're in charge. You decide.
What's with John?
You don't want to know.
You sure?
You'd be glad you didn't.
Okay. Sorry to have woken you.
Yeah. Yeah. Speak to them, huh? Make sure someone's being woken up over there in that ship.
You think they're getting any sleep in this weather?
The Georg Ots. Sunday, 3 a.m.
Hold on. Go round, Rowney. Go straight to Nitsa.
That's what they want you to do.
We are not at war, Georg.
How do we know?
Where's this war going to be?
Oh.
Tell me.
Thank God we sold Alaska.
Edward, a moment.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no. How's it going?
Oh, the usual human rights shit about Episcopalians and Jewish immigration. It's all right.
No, the numbers.
Go back to bed.
Reiser says, I can't take this back to Moscow. It'll look like surrender.
That's why we brought the Chief of General Staff.
I like him. I didn't think I ever would.
Get to know him. He's your human shield. If he agrees it, then his generals
can't... Oh, they are. They'll strip it to the bone in Congress. Even if he signs, this is all pointless.
Get some sleep. It's a long day tomorrow.
Thrasher says this could split the Politburo.
They're fools.
Oh, and we're not pretending we believe in Star Wars.
SDI is the victory you have to take back. That you've stopped big President Reagan. Made Russia safe from his space lasers. You are the peacemaker.
Racer says...
Go back to her now. Don't talk politics. She's your wife. Be a proper Russian.
Presidential motorcade. Sunday, 9:30 a.m.
It just strikes me, sir, speaking as your national security advisor, an agreement here, sir, it might come at an especially good time.
He said it would look like this.
What would?
Iceland, like the moon.
Who's that?
Oh, I was reading that, Red Storm Rising.
Oh, is that, you mean Tom Clancy?
It's all set here. I wanted to study up.
I was saying, sir, an agreement signed today, it's not going to do you any harm.
Oh, they're going after SDI. You're saying that's less important?
You got midterm elections in 3 weeks. I know a lot of congressmen who'd like you to come home with something.
Is that really what we're talking about, John?
And yes, the other thing.
North, has he heard something?
It's a guy called Hashemi. In Iran. He's some kind of imam, a real hothead.
Well, can he hurt us?
All he's been told, it's Hashemi who tipped off the reporters in the Lebanon. It means they're getting their material straight out of Tehran.
You're saying it's going to get published?
My point is, sir, when you're answering questions about it, you'll be 3,000% better off with a major peace treaty in your back pocket.
Well, we'll all be better off without these horrible missiles. Yeah. My whole life, it's just nuclear missiles and ballistic missiles and anti-aircraft missiles to Iran. And I don't want to harm a damn soul.
You walk out of here shaking Mr. Gorbachev's hand, it's going to be a whole lot harder for them to snipe.
Are you advising me to...
I'm saying, if there's a deal on the table, my advice is think twice before saying no.
We'll get this nailed this morning. I've got to be home for dinner.
Good morning, sir.
Dinner? In Washington?
Hovey House, Sunday, 10 a.m.
I have to say, Mr. General Secretary, that our people have talked all night and... Well, I'm disappointed.
I agree. 10 hours' work and this is what we have to show for it.
You're disappointed? Well, there are so many advances here.
All we find is the U.S. trying to drag things backwards.
We have formed the impression that you believe the Soviet Union is more interested in arms control than you. This could not be more wrong. You seem to have conveniently forgotten that we have agreed not to include the British and French missiles. We conceded this. We did.
It's true.
And here we are, pretending these European missiles can be redeployed to Asia. It's embarrassing having to talk this way when it's just us here, us in this room, and we're spouting these banalities. If we redeployed them to Asia, it would nullify the agreement. You know that. I know that. This is drivel.
Mikhail, I want to eliminate nuclear weapons. I want to see the world at peace.
I thought Armageddon was coming.
We can prevent it. We can change the future.
And this is our only chance. I couldn't have done this a year ago. I might well not be able to in a year's time. Come on. Let's get rid of all the missiles in Europe. Let's freeze the rest and agree to cope with the Asian problem. You suggest 100 missiles, I'll go with that. And that won't be easy for us.
And we'll ignore your build-up in the Pacific Basin.
We want to show you we are serious to reach an agreement. Can you go with that?
George? Yes, let's agree to that.
Okay. Let's hear some concessions from you, then. ABM Treaty.
Here we go.
We ask only for a 10-year signed undertaking not to withdraw from the treaty. And during those 10 years, we worked towards the total elimination of all nuclear weapons.
But I cannot take back my commitment to the American people, to keep them safe. That is all SDI does, will ever do.
It's no impediment to your program. You can mock it all up in labs, and you stay within the treaty.
We won't get funding from Congress if it's just lab work. Now, Cap said so, right?
The Defense Secretary is adamant.
I am serious about sharing this technology with the Soviet Union. So why can't we make this a new part of the ABM treaty?
Mr. General Secretary, you started to say something a moment ago about the total elimination of nuclear arms tied to this 10-year non-withdrawal phase. Now, do you mean... Are you saying we could eliminate every single nuclear weapon in 10 years? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Not just ballistic missiles. I mean submarines, aircraft. I mean battlefield. I mean everything. Oh. And that's why ABM is essential. We cannot do this unless that is in force, guaranteeing no new weapon developments.
Well, I agree. Let's eliminate all weapons. And then our people can sleep in peace. And meanwhile, you and I create a means of protection which will be around long after you and I are gone.
I've also picked up an American proverb. It takes two to tango. Here we are, Mr. President. How about a man-only tango?
Well, I know another expression. Once burned, twice shy. Your Krasnoyarsk radar is in breach of the ABM treaty.
We know about your breakthroughs in SDI. One or two little advances. Why haven't you shared them, if you're the big sharer?
All right. But what I can't get straight. We can live together. Friendly competitors. We're different systems, and I'm certain that the historical facts are on our side. I mean, if you quote, well, your Karl Marx, he said a while back...
We had Lenin, now we're back to Marx.
Well, everything Marx said, Lenin just repeated. The point is, Marx said socialism had to be global to succeed. He said the only morality that matters is the one which advances socialism. And Lenin said, promises are like pie crusts, made to be broken.
He never said that.
Oh, I bet he wishes he had.
There you go again. Marx and Lenin, Lenin and Marx. History is littered with those who tried to defeat their manifesto. Don't waste your time.
We have no hostile intentions.
Just before you set off here, you said you stood by that speech of yours in London.
Well, I do.
When you called us the evil empire, you called for a crusade against socialism to send us to the ash heap of history.
Well, bring us back, We have a serious target here. 10 years to eliminate all nuclear weapons, not just ballistic missiles. So we've already got agreement on a 50% cut, yes?
Yes.
And we could put together a statement on the zero option for European weapons also. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, so on ABM, we seem to be blocked. But if we could suggest an additional meeting this afternoon...
Oh, George, aren't we due back on the plane?
You and me. We see what we can hammer out in advance.
Exactly.
We cannot release any of the other agreements without your express commitment to ABM. That's obvious.
We cannot link SDI to the ABM treaty.
Then we should conclude our meeting here.
Oh, no, please, sit down.
You will report to Congress, me to the Supreme Soviet... I am truly sorry we didn't manage to find a new impulse to arms agreement. I regret it.
We have settled so many things. Are we really going to walk away from here with nothing?
Sadly we can, Mr. President. The hour seems to be on us.
I've been working on a text here, but hang on. Some sort of statement. We'll need to come back after lunch.
If the President agrees. Mr. President.
What? Oh, yes.
We declare a break for maybe 1-2 hours. You two with your teams work on some words. I can wait. Then you and me sit down and see. One more session.
This afternoon?
I'm convinced we can find some words for the ABM treaty.
Committed non-withdrawal.
Yeah, a formula.
3 o'clock?
Right. 3 o'clock.
Hervey House. Sunday. 1 p.m.
You think he means it?
I'm sure of it.
If we go now, we can be in Washington.
Hang in there, Mr. President. We're winning.
You think it's worth it?
You know I do.
George!
Wait, I do.
Shit. I mean, shit.
Mr. President, you're making real progress, sir.
Oh, we're not through.
You don't have to answer, sir.
Hey, you're going to be in again.
Let's get you in the car, sir. This way, sir.
If only Nancy was here.
Do you reckon, could we get Nancy out here?
Are you serious?
It's 9 in Washington. If she's at Andrews by 10, she could touch down here late afternoon, and then they're eating supper together.
He won't manage another day.
With Mommy here, it makes the difference.
It's not gonna happen.
What if Madame Zorba says it's in the stars?
Oh, that woman only predicts what Nancy wants her to predict.
Reckon you can nail it this afternoon.
We can do what we can do.
Soviets are doing a press.
What the hell is there to say?
Are they trying to scupper the thing?
How do we ever know with these guys?
Sounds to me like they want the deal.
Roz, you know the Germans. They're going to go crazy. Get on the phone to Cole right now.
Sure.
Paul, can you speak to the Japanese? Everyone upstairs in 10. We're on the edge of something monumental.
The Georg Ots, 2 p.m.
If he agrees to this, if he can do this, the world will be a different place.
Can he? Is he allowed to?
He doesn't care about that. He genuinely doesn't. He's a dreamer.
But Ronald Reagan?
Yes. He gets an idea and then he believes it. He hates nuclear weapons. He's not like Thatcher or Mitterrand. He's an abolitionist masquerading as a militarist.
Only in America.
He's a romantic.
And you're not, Mikhail. Don't get me wrong. If I'm looking kind of dazzled, I see
neon lights. Whenever you walk by. Hovey House. 3:55 p.m.
Our new proposal, it's two sets of 5 years. The first 5 years runs to 1991, with testing only as allowed by the ABM Treaty, your laboratory thing. And during that time, you and me, we deliver a 50% reduction in strategic missiles. That works out, both sides happy. For the second 5 years, the goal is total elimination of all nuclear weapons. And during that, we test launch SDI. At the end, either side is free to deploy defenses.
Why would you need to? Defense against what? It'll all be gone.
Well, who knows when another Hitler is going to come along.
Oh, right. Hitler and the Martians.
We would add only one clause to your draft. During that second period, to strictly observe all the provisions of the ABM Treaty.
Meaning no live testing?
Our proposal contains elements of both sides' wording.
There are differences in the wording.
We have moved to you. We have accepted your idea of 2 5-year periods.
Oh, well, you guys love your 5-year plans.
We are only asking for 10 years of laboratory-only testing. Then you're free. We are not trying to ring the funeral bells for SDI.
Can I just check in the two typed-up versions? We refer to offensive ballistic missiles and... And you to strategic offensive arms. Are these different?
Your text refers to research, development, and testing permitted by the ABM Treaty. Our reference to laboratory testing has disappeared. Why?
I know. We ask our people in Geneva to do more work on what's allowable under the treaty. And then we'll discuss that in Washington.
Was the word laboratory omitted deliberately?
Look, I've got no problem with getting rid of all nuclear weapons.
We can do that. We can eliminate
them. Let's do it, every single one.
Right! The ABM Treaty, if it's indefinite, if both of us agree to non-withdrawal, it is incomprehensible why anyone needs to test a space weapon.
Oh, confine it to laboratories, and you're cutting my bridges. SDI won't happen.
Then we can bring this meeting to an end.
No, hold on, hold on. I have a problem in my country you don't have. If they criticize you, they get packed off to jail.
You should read some of the things written about me in our papers.
My critics on the so-called right wing, they are kicking my brains out. So, now listen to this. You get to go home with your 10-year plan, and I go home with the pledge to continue SDI research, but not deploy for 10 years. Come on, that's a big offer.
Mr. President, we're talking here as equals, yes?
Yes.
We're talking openly and honestly and confidentially. You are 3 steps from being a great president. If you can agree to ban tests in space, we can sign now. Here, now. Something remarkable. If not, let's say goodbye now. Let's forget all about Reykjavik. There won't be another meeting like this.
Remember, do you mind if I speak emotionally? We have to remember, when future generations read the transcript of this meeting and see we came so close, what are they going to say? Will they forgive us?
If we sign this agreement, your opponents won't even open their mouths.
Oh, they were saying before I came here, Reagan's going to fold. He's going to get trapped inside the ABM treaty for another chunk of time. So I'm asking you, don't make me do that. It will hurt me badly at home. I ask this one thing of you.
I think I have said everything I can.
Please, please. This laboratory thing, we're talking here about one word. We can't let this go over one word. Mm. Oh, please. Anyone reading our proposal would say, yes, the U.S. is committed to the ABM treaty.
Others might say the American president used a single word to derail a whole meeting. Oh. If I grant the U.S. the right to develop space weapons, how can I go back to Moscow? They'll call me an idiot, simpleton.
Durak.
That's right, idiot. Village idiot.
I'm asking you a favor. We could do so much together, like no two other leaders. But you refuse me one favor. George, this is one word, but am I wrong?
You're not, Mr. President.
We can go to the people as peacemakers.
I have agreed to as much as I can.
No. No, we shouldn't part this way.
My conscience is clear. Before you, before my people.
Maybe you never wanted to reach an agreement. Well, I'm sorry about that.
I'm sorry too. I don't know what more I could have done.
You could have said yes.
Are we ready, gentlemen?
We won't get another chance like this.
I don't think so either. Give my regards to Nancy, please. It was a shame she couldn't come.
They came here to kill SDI. We beat them.
It's not about just wins. This isn't the NBA.
We lose SDI, we lose all our leverage. This is what brought them to the table.
You can be pretty dumb sometimes, Ed. Even for a general.
Now, hold on.
The whole shebang. That's what SDI is for. It was to get them to do this. Jesus!
He's right, Ed. This was our chance. Our chance to cash in Star Wars for the best deal the Russians have offered since they sold us Alaska.
I think you're wrong, sir. We got them now. We've seen their bottom line. We know their weaknesses.
And what do we do with that knowledge, Ed? Where does that take us? Okay. Who's coming to the press conference?
Sir, before you go, you look pretty tired and disappointed.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Sir?
Because I'm tired and disappointed.
They're ready for you, sir.
Now, this could be a huge propaganda victory for us, enormous.
You believe that?
You must tell the world.
Marshal,
we tried to trust each other. It was too difficult. We failed.
Oh, they came in there like cavemen, primitives.
Edvard?
You made all the concessions. They moved on nothing. Maybe this was their plan all along. Maybe they were never going to make a deal. Mm.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, the General Secretary of the Communist Party of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics.
Yes, over there.
So, Mr. General Secretary, who do you blame?
I blame no one.
On the contrary, this has been a hugely successful summit. Meeting. This is an enormous breakthrough.
A year later, Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev signed the INF agreement to abolish nuclear forces from Europe. This remains the only tangible result from the summits at Geneva and Reykjavik and Washington and Moscow. In July 2014, Washington accused Russia of violating this treaty by test launching its new R-500 missile. Air Force One, 7:35 p.m.
A failure. They're gonna call this a failure, George.
They weren't ready for you. The world isn't ready for your vision, sir.
One word? That's a blow.
It's what the word represented, Admiral.
Yeah.
3 weeks later, a Lebanese magazine was the first to publish revelations of what later became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
One lousy word. We could have been peacemakers. Laboratories. One lousy word.
Talking to myself.
SDI, the Strategic Defense Initiative, sometimes known as Star Wars, now known as the Missile Defense Agency, has yet to score a successful test strike against a long-range ballistic missile.
In Reykjavik by Jonathan Myerson, Ronald Reagan was played by Kerry Schell, and Mikhail Gorbachev by Zubin Vala. George Shultz was Colin Stinton, Edward Shevardnadze, Michael Burtonshaw, John Poindexter, Matthew Marsh, Paul Nitzer, Nathan Osgood, Ed Rowney, Ian Cunningham, Roz Ridgway, Elaine Claxton, and Sergei Akhramyeyev by David Acton. The director was John Kulpanting.
Trust me. Trust me.